Have you ever felt overwhelmed? How about anxious, fearful, or guilt-ridden? Have you ever felt so stressed out that you wanted to crawl into a hole? At times, we've all felt overwhelmed and controlled by the stresses of life. But through the power of the living Word of God and the Holy Spirit, you can put all of those feelings aside and listen to what Jesus has to say. This is a History with God Ministries Godcast Network featuring Frank and Christina Sasso. Visit us online at ahistorywithgod.com for articles, links, prophetic words, prayer requests, and other awesome resources. Be sure to join our mailing list to receive your free daily devotion right in your email every morning. They are sure to comfort, inspire, teach, and even challenge you in your walk with the Lord. And now, let's join the special guest host of today's Godcast, Tim McDonald.
Hey everyone, I'd like to welcome our partners, our members, our subscribers, our listeners, our first-time listeners, and our friends. This is the segment of A History with God Ministries where you guys submit your questions or your topics and you pick somebody who you'd like to answer those things or to shed some revelation on those things. And so I was picked. Before I get into that, though, the question that was submitted by Hurrah from South Carolina. Hopefully I'm pronouncing your name correctly. I just love questions, and I think God loves questions also. I'll even pray, Lord, show me the right question to ask. But I think it's already on his heart, because I think what happens is that God releases a question. He places a question on our hearts so that we would ask that question, because he already has in mind what he wants to reveal to you about that thing. But since he loves relationship, he releases the question, we ask the question, and then he gets all excited because he's like, oh, that's a great question. And then he proceeds to answer it through relationship. And so I'm not really a big one about information. I love revelation. Information gets in my head and equips me to win debates, which I have no interest in doing. I'm all about revelation. I'm all about wanting to be transformed into the likeness of who Jesus is. And so just love questions. And this is, Hurrah, this is one of those questions that's really good. The question is, does God look away when I sin? Interesting, though, is that I remember when Christina first read this question, and like Christina, my answer is also no. I totally agree with that. But for the sake of a topic, it would be a very short segment on A History with God Ministries, so I'm going to try to answer it a little bit more in depth, because I think there's so many good nuggets that we can extrapolate from the scripture and this question, and I would even submit to you to do your own self-study, because it's one of those things that goes so deep. So the answer is no, but I can see where you might get that question. In Isaiah 59, verse 1, surely the arm of the Lord is not too short to save, nor his ear too dull to hear, but your iniquities have separated you from your God. Your sins have hidden his face from you, so he will not hear you. And so this is all under the old covenant. It's not under the new covenant. And so we knew that God always had in store for us a new covenant, a better way of doing things than the old way, because it says from the foundation of the world that the Lamb was slain. What brings us to the new covenant? Before I dive into that, I just want to read a verse. The verse I want to read is in Leviticus 17, verse 11. It says, for the life of a creature is in the blood, and I have given it to you to make atonement for yourselves on the altar. It is the blood that makes atonement for one's life. This is so amazing to me that the blood makes atonement for one's life. And so we know what leads us to the covenant. It's the blood of Jesus. And how amazing is the blood of Jesus? And so because of Jesus' blood, I'm now in an unbreakable covenant. It's unbreakable. Why is it unbreakable? See, the thing is about a covenant is it's valid or it's binding as long as both parties are upholding their end of the agreement or the covenant. And so what the Father did is he knew he would be able to uphold his end of the covenant. And so what he did is he sent his son, Jesus, in the likeness of man. And so he's upholding our end of the covenant. So we're in this unbreakable covenant because he's actually holding both ends of the covenant. This is a cool little way to look at it too, is that the blood of Jesus is worth so much. It's so amazing. Imagine if I had a vial of Jesus' blood, and we could say, okay, Without any doubt, this is the blood of Jesus. It's a vial. What would that be worth? What would somebody spend on the blood of Jesus? And for me, it conjures up these visions of Raiders of the Lost Ark and, you know, all these special potions that when people are dying or people who have dead, I just need a drop of this special potion and you know, it'll save you. It'll bring restoration. And how much is the blood of Jesus worth? I'm sure somebody, you would spend whatever you had. So it's millions and kajillions. It's unfathomable what the blood of Jesus is worth. But see, hurrah. And so I'm speaking to her, but this is for everyone. See, when Jesus was on the way to the cross, it was for the joy set before him that he endured the cross. Why is there a joy? Hurrah, you were the joy. Everyone else out there, you were the joy set before Jesus. So he endured the cross. It was always you that he had in mind. It was never our sin. The enemy wants you separated from God because he realizes is that when once we get connected in fellowship and relationship, that will be transformed and then we'll have access because we won't have the poverty mindset. It's kind of like the older brother in the prodigal son story. Because of his striving and not knowing who he was, he had access to everything that the father had and what the younger brother got. Because of his mind, he wasn't able to partake of it because he was striving to get it. Or maybe he was looking at his sin. He was always trying to do better. And I call it the poverty mindset. And it doesn't connect you to those things. And that's exactly what the enemy wants. He wants you disconnected from intimacy. He wants you disconnected from your father. He wants you to focus on your sin. And so it's like Peter when he denied Jesus three times and he looked and he saw face to face with Jesus. And I know. I want to see that face one time. I can guarantee you it wasn't like, yeah, there it is, Peter. I told you. I told you you were going to sin. I told you you were going to mess up. I'm right. I prophesied it. It was such an utter look of complete compassion that even at that point, he was being restored to Jesus. And not because of the sin, although Jesus hadn't died yet, but when Jesus restored Peter was on the beach, it wasn't a restoration of intimacy. It was restoring Peter's mind and saying, Peter, I love you. I love you. It's not about what you do. It's not about any of those things. It's about you. A little while ago, the Lord said to me one time, and this is, see, you can read stuff in the Word and it's amazing. But when God says little nuggets to you, it's the truth that sets you free. It's revelation that sets you free. And as you start to ponder it, as you start to focus on it, it gets bigger. What you focus on gets bigger. The Lord said to me, he goes, Tim, I waited all eternity up until this point to spend time with you. That's a really long time. I'm not focused on you getting everything correct and everything perfect. I'm focused on you. I'm focused on being with you. I'm focused on relating to you. I'm focused on you relating to me. I wanted to have you. It wasn't, you know, so that you could be made perfect. It's not about any of that. It's about relationship. What it does is, as I start to spend time with who he is, he loves to reveal who he is. And then it just melts those questions like, well, is he looking away? Is he sad? Or is he not loving me? Or those things. It just breaks off all those things all throughout Scripture. And there may be more Scriptures than the ones I've looked up. But in the Old and in the New Testament, it says that he'll never leave us nor forsake us. In Deuteronomy 31:6, in Joshua 1:5, in Hebrews 13:5, he'll never leave us nor forsake us. He's always there. He cannot not be there. You know, it says in John 14, it says the Holy Spirit will be with you and will be in you. And so this is the way I start to think recently, and this is the stuff that will change you. John Paul Jackson wrote a book. It's called The 365 Names of God. You know, it's like Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals, Jehovah Jireh, the God of provision. And we're supposed to be putting names on God about who he is. But anyway, in there, he extrapolates from all different scriptures like Deuteronomy 32:11-12. As an eagle stirs up its nest, hovers over its young, spreading out its wings, taking them up, carrying them on its wings, so the Lord alone led him. He says in the upper portion of this page that has that part of God's name, says the Holy Spirit that hovers over your life to bring higher order. And then he's the anointing oil. He's the light, luminous, glowing, and radiant one. He's the splendor of His majesty. He's the fire. He's the glory cloud. He's the lightning. He's all these things. What I started to see is, because He'll never leave me nor forsake me, He's all those things, right? He's the fullness of who He is in me. So right now, as I'm talking to you and I'm answering this question or talking about this question in my prayer room, the fullness of who He is here. The light, luminous, glowing, and radiant. When the glory cloud is here, the fire is here. Now, I may not see it. I may not feel it. I may not have any encounter in the natural with it, but it's here. And the interesting thing is, and this might be going off on a tangent, but this is what I'm saying. With questions, these kind of questions, they lead you somewhere. And so don't be afraid to just go, because it expounds on who He is. So as I start to position myself, and I think one of the last podcasts I did with Frank about hiddenness and manifestation, that I'm still in the season of hiddenness, and then I think somebody asked a question, am I still in the hiddenness? And yeah, I'm still there. But again, it's so amazing to me is that I'm starting to have these amazing encounters that are just life-changing. The other day, I was in my prayer room, and I just purposed in my heart to say, Jesus, You're here. And I was like, my heart was like, Lord, if You're here and I was to see You, I imagine I would have a certain reaction to You being here. I asked You would help me to have the correct response if You were to manifest Yourself. And I felt like the Lord was like, don't worry, You'll know what to do when it comes time to what you need to do. I was like, okay. So I just was going about my business, and then I heard in my spirit, now would be a good time to get on your knees. So I'm like, okay. So I get down on my knees, and the minute, not like when my knees hit the ground, but then when my hands hit the ground, as I'm bowing low, my body instantly goes into this sobbing where I'm heaving. And I'm like sobbing. My whole, like my body is doing this stuff, but my mind is like, Lord, what is it? What is this? What's going on? There was nothing that was sad that was on my heart or anything. It was like my body was sobbing. I was like almost like apart from my body, looking at myself like, what's going on? Why am I sobbing? And the Lord said, He goes, your body is responding to the manifest presence of who I am. And I'm like, oh my gosh. Then I really started to cry because it just got heavier. Like, because the revelation, when He speaks, He's pure revelation, and He created the worlds by the spoken word. And the more pure I start to walk with Him and more intimacy I walk with Him, those questions, they just disappear. And so, hurrah, to kind of wrap this up, is that sin is never the issue. And I'm not being soft on sin and abusing grace. If I have habitual sin, I don't just say, oh, well, there it is. I'm just going to do it because He'll just forgive me. I say, okay, so if I'm speaking, say I'm gossiping, and I just am a habitual gossiper and I can't stop. I want to stop, but I just can't. And so if I start to focus on trying to stop gossiping, what am I going to do? What you focus on gets bigger. So I stop focusing on that. And I apply that principle, and I start to bless my words. Father, I just thank You that Your word says that the salty spring and the clean spring, they can't flow from the same thing. And I want my words to bless. I want my words to have power. So I declare over my tongue to bless and not to curse, to speak life and not death. And I just bless, and I pray that You would help me to do those things. And then I just, you know, it's like that whole putting on the word of God message, is that I see myself speaking good things. And maybe I come and that day I've had a bad experience where I spoke a word. And so I just invite God into that circumstance, and I say, Lord, what would be the correct response in this instance? And He starts to show me what the correct response is, and then I see in my heart and in my mind myself doing that very thing, so that the next time that situation comes, I have something else to rely on in my mind to handle that situation better. And so I declare the word of my life, I proclaim it over my life, and then, it, like it says in Corinthians, the fire comes to reveal the good work that He's done in you. And it's never punishment, it's always meant like as not a reward, but it's meant to move revelation from our head to our heart. So never be dismayed about the fire. Never be dismayed about the things that you're going in and through. They're meant to form you, but hurrah, you have to get your eyes off those things, because if it's on your sin and that He's looking away, then that means you're not good enough or you're not worthy, and you're so worth the blood of Jesus. He prayed a high price for you so that He could have you, so that He could be with you, so you can walk in the fullness of who He is. And Peter Jackson says, first you choose to believe, and then you come to believe. In Proverbs, it says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So we just need to think in our hearts. We need to think in a different way. We need to put on the Word of God and let our minds be transformed. And it's like that word that Frank and Keith did on the prosperity. God is the God of all prosperity, and He wants His flowing in not only in monetary things, but in He wants His overflowing in love and overflowing in peace and joy and everything you see in the Word that is our spiritual inheritance. He wants you walking in every single one of those things and overflowing. And you know, Frank is saying, we were talking last night at Starbucks, and I asked Frank, I was like, well, how long, Frank, did you start to declare about the prosperity before you started to start finding money? And he goes, it was 3 years. It was 3 years of just saying the word, prophesying the word, declaring the word. And I started to do that too. I started to declare the finances. My finances will be blessed, and they're getting blessed. They are getting blessed. And so there's something that as we position ourselves in the secret place, we become aware of the... Well, I'm getting way off topic here, but I hope this is blessing you because I think it's all tied together and it's where God's heart wants to go. You need to become aware of who He is. Not only aware of who He is, that He'll never leave you nor forsake you, but Psalm 91 says, aware of the secret place, dwell in the secret place, be aware of the secret place, because it's in heavenly places that our blessing is. And as we learn to position ourselves and choose to place ourselves there and focus on that's where we are, the things of the kingdom will manifest over your life. What you focus on gets bigger. So if He gets bigger, then those things that are in your life that are separating you, that the enemy, he no longer has a tie, he no longer has a basis to manifest over your life, because you're not worried about sin. It's no longer an issue, and you'll be transformed day by day. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Don't look at the progress. You just keep your eyes on Him, and I guarantee you you'll be changed, because He's so for you. Love doesn't seek its own. Love never fails. He is pure love. He's not seeking His own, then He's seeking you. He's seeking to spend time with you. Not that He's at our beck and call, but He's there. He's just waiting for to incline our hearts and our ears towards Him, and that He just wants to speak, this is who I am. This is who you are. No longer think that way. Stop walking that way. Start walking this way. It's a better way. I have so much blessing for you. And yikes, I'm all fired up with no place to go. So I should have prayed this or spoke this earlier on, and then I could have went into the marketplace. But I'm ready. I'm ready to pray for the mountains. I'm ready to pray. But let me pray for you guys. Lord, I just declare a breaking off of a poverty mindset over your people, over the members and the partners and the first-time listeners and the subscribers and our friends of a history with God. I just decree blessing over you. And right now, a breaking off of the poverty mindset that would separate you from the things and the blessings of God, and that you would right now be instantly transformed into a son and daughter who knows who they are, who chooses to say, well, maybe I'm not in the fullness of who I am, Lord, in my mind, but I'm choosing to believe. I'm choosing to believe that what you say about me is true. And I'm just telling you right now, people of God, church, you will be transformed, because His word doesn't come back void and love never fails. Whew. Amen. I just want you guys to remember this, that we love you, God loves you, and Jesus is Lord. Stay blessed.
Thank you for listening to today's broadcast from A History with God Ministries. This teaching is a powerful ministry tool that you can use to experience the power of God in your life. Thank you again for listening and for helping us reach the world with the love of Jesus. Sign up for your free daily devotion today at ahistorywithgod.com and click on Contact. Type in your name and email address and you'll be all set. A History with God Ministries. Seeing, hearing, remembering. Mark chapter 8, verse 18. Until next time, stay in the blessing.